girls gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some neck up on it. While I stand up in the background and check up.
Bam!
I was actually going to call from the
Ethan
hospital.
That I did hear you.
Oh, shit. For the podcast? That would have been a fucked up podcast.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing that. Oh!
They're cutting open my chest right now.
I'm having sex with my heart.
By the way, everybody, this is podcast 37 for those of you listening.
Oh.
And the 7:37 Sunday 12:00. Shit, what's the date?
Oh!
Today's 4th.
March 4th.
3 plus
Tony.
4 is 7.
Ow!
Yay!
That's right. Biatch.
What are we playing? Oh, right, Ethan.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Antipode, what are you playing?
I've been playing this game called Move and pick up heavy shit.
Really?
And build other shit.
Looks like you lost.
No, I won. That's why I'm sitting here.
Fuck you, you lost.
What's your high score?
My high score is...
I got 30
boxes. My high score is sit at the computer and record a podcast on Sunday.
What's the start to crate rating?
Start to crate was like... minus 3 seconds.
5 seconds.
What's the Chris in the House of Evelyn rating?
Like <Uh-oh>. 4.
Ethan, what are you playing?
Emergency 3.
Boom!
Emergency 3.
Yep, a lot of fun. To waste a lot of time.
We hate when you revert.
I picked up AoE 3 again briefly. Just
which 3?
AoE.
Oh, okay.
Because we were talking about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of it. I've been not moving.
Oh, between that and move, I'd take AoE 3.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, move sounds
don't
good
like
as hell.
And it hurts at the end. In your arms.
That's what she... Oh,
not in your ass.
I was going to say something else. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, you guys think
I'm doing something. And you can't hear what I'm
too.
Doing. No, it's not that.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. I'm playing Vice City Stories, and I'm hating every minute of it.
Really? Oh, shit.
Dude, this fucking game blows.
Why are you playing
it? Stop playing it.
Stop playing it. Dude, I've never seen some... This got some of the stupidest fucking missions I've ever played. I mean,
I
like...
I think you just love
like
to be angry.
Dude, this is embarrassing even for Grand Theft Auto standards. And they have Nick Nolte as one... I believe it's Nick Nolte as one of the actors.
Is he drunk?
Probably about the worst acting since he's done Hulk. You know?
Do they have his mullet? His drunken mugshot.
Yeah. And he plays
that
a drunk.
Awesome.
He plays a drunk like he's never drank before. I mean, that's very conservative. Wow. Come on, go all out. They should have gave him some beers. Game blows.
Maybe a shot of whisk.
The game blows. The only thing that I like about the game is the commercials and the talk channels. Like they really took the talk channels and made
car?
Two of them are old like. From the 40s kind of shows. You know, where the acting was like,
we are standing
we gotta
here
go next door.
At the War of the Worlds. Dude. The aliens have arisen from the soil,
yes.
And they are burning people.
Exactly. But it's so bad. You would have to listen to it in order to enjoy it, but that's the only highlight of the game. So that's pretty much it. And that's all I was doing, other than playing penile rape and, let's see, let's pat the heart around until it works again. That's all I've been playing.
I'm glad you won that one.
For now. Well played, Tony.
I started God of War again.
Yay! Because
I'm getting ready for God of War 2.
Yay! All right.
When
that
is God
game
of War
kicks
coming
so
up?
Much ass.
When is it coming out?
God of War 2, I think, like, middle of March.
Yeah.
God of War kicks so much ass. I mean, it's got real problems that really annoy me. That's why I didn't give it a 5 out of 5. But, like, otherwise, everything else is so good. Mm-hmm. It's so good. I also play. Oh yeah, Sonic and the Secret Rings, which is both good and terrible.
Mm. Okay,
it's
complex.
Like when it's fun, it's really fun, and it's mm-hmm. not like the stupid 3D Sonic that you get on PlayStation 3 and mm-hmm. Xbox 360. It's a totally new game. It's basically you're on rails, and all you control is his left to right movement, really. So you're basically just going really, really fast. All the time. Well, not all the time, but most of the time you're going really, really fast. And it's fun that way. Because it's like an old Sonic game. The problem is when they start to put in objectives like, beat this little level without breaking a jar. And mm-hmm. then it gets slow again. Or collect 20 rings and it gets slow again. I mean, the way that I like Sonic is fast.
Right.
In the 2D Sonic, sometimes they would have some nice level design.
Uh-huh.
But most of it felt kind of unpolished and for the intent of him going fast. So I just resigned to it and said, okay, well, I'll just go fast and I won't slow down and smell the roses because the game is most fun and it's fast. And the same thing is true here. So when they make you not break a jar or collect rings or like whatever, then it's not as fun and it's not as fast. Now, when they say like, okay, don't die, that's, you know, that's fine. but shit like that, it is annoying. And then to boot, like, instead of playing, like, a long level and then just finishing and moving on to the next one, you play, like, a level that's maybe about 60 seconds long, mm-hmm. then you reach the goal, and then it kicks you back out and says, you beat this level! Now try a new objective! And, like, you have to choose from a menu of other shit, and then you choose from the menu, and then you equip this, like, ring shit, and then you confirm once, and then you confirm that you want to play the level again, and then you get into the level. God. So it breaks up the... Now, it's just a little nitpick, but what it does is it breaks up the flow of you just going fast. So you beat a stage for 30 seconds, and then you get kicked out to a menu, which takes about 15 seconds to go through. Then you go through another stage for about 45 seconds, you kick back out to the menu. You know what I mean? So that's kind of annoying.
Boo!
But...
Oh, well. Better luck next time.
Yeah, but when it's good, like, for me, it's worth it to have it, because when it's fun, it's fun.
But you said you're just on rails. You don't have no control over Sonic whatsoever?
No, you do, you do. Oh. It's on rails in the sense that, like, you're almost always moving forward, and you only control his left or right movements and when he jumps, but... You can move back if you need to.
Okay.
Otherwise, you couldn't collect all the rings. But
right,
you can move back if you need to. You move forward. The stage moves for you, but it's all, like, it's all about the speed and, like, about your reflexes.
Right.
So they kind of dumb it down, but they also make it challenging. So
how are the controls for it?
Surprisingly, I didn't take too long to get used to them. Like, the tilting is very, it's very balanced. It's not too sensitive, and it's not too slow.
Cool.
I really... liked it. I liked it. I think they did a good job with it, and it's making me want to try Tony Hawk on the console because
Downhill
that also controls. Yeah, that also controls with left and right and stuff. And I just started playing another thing, SSX3 again.
Yay!
So I might want to try Tony Hawk now. For some reason, like, I still don't like the way Excite Truck feels, which is odd because I like the way these games feel. So maybe it's just the difference in the way they programmed it. Whatever. That's all bang. News! We're ahead of schedule by 1 minute.
Awesome.
We're going to blast through most of the news, but our big topic today is it's Sony Land. There was a whole shit ton of news last week and the week before, so we're going to just talk about three big things, but oh, God, wow. So some good, some bad. Bubbath! Perrin Kaplan says the GameCube is dead.
Yay!
And then Nintendo of Europe says, no, it's not.
Jeez,
what the fuck?
Bitch.
Why is she such a bitch?
Bitch. She
now,
says
why is
stupid
she a bitch, Antipode?
Bitch. Because she says stupid shit.
This is true. Examples of her faux pas, besides this one, I think the first one I can think of is her saying that there would be component cables available at the Wii launch, like, everywhere. Al, do you remember her saying that?
Yeah, I remember her saying that.
She was like, oh, we're going to have them in Best Buy, we're going to have them in retail, they're going to be everywhere. And they were nowhere to be found. Like, almost nowhere. There was maybe, like, two in stores.
You know, you can find them all over the Nintendo World Store, but that's only one.
Right. Okay. Right. And then, like, she said... And then later she backtracked and said, oh, we don't know what happened with the shortage. We apologize for that. Now get them online. And so when we ran to get them online, they were sold out in, like, 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah. And they had backlog for, like, 3 weeks.
Well, what do you expect for a name with a name like Perrin?
I'm trying to think of something else she said, but I can't remember.
One of the would-be faux pas is when someone asked her, like, in passing, how powerful is Wii in comparison to GameCube, and she just went like, oh, yeah, 2-3 times faster. And everybody gave her shit for it. But the reality is that's the truth.
Oh,
and
man.
I don't think she realized it. I don't think she knew what she was saying.
Right, she just, like, guesstimated.
Yeah, B, she actually was right. So, yeah, everybody gave her so much flack over it. They're like, nobody knows the specs. And, you know, she's saying it's 2-3 times powerful. Nobody knows, and that's just rumor, blah, 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 blah. And it turned out to be true. So, but, yeah, I mean, this time she said, like, oh, Nintendo of America has halted all GameCube production and all software production, but we're going to have enough inventory for people who want it. But then I think it was Nintendo of Europe.
Yeah, UK.
Was it any – did it come from any one person, or was it just Nintendo of Europe?
Oh,
here we go. Oh, no, wait.
No. Some spokesperson
Just a spokesperson said, I can confirm that globally Nintendo is still continued production of GameCube hardware and software. So it may not be a full pot. It may be that Perrin was saying, okay, Nintendo of America is putting the GameCube to rest, but the rest of the world has GameCube. So we don't know, but she hasn't specified, and she's annoying. So she also has an affair with Matt Asmussina from IGN. So there goes that journalistic integrity for you.
I don't know what
that means. Well, basically, Matt Casamassina, Kiss Asmussina from IGN Wii or an IGN Cube and whatever, he has very good relationships with Nintendo.
Uh-huh.
That's how he gets a lot of good stories. And that's good, you know, because we get a lot of scoops on Nintendo from IGN. Otherwise, I would never go there because, you know, I don't like their reviews. I don't like the way they're shit and they're totally shit operation. But they have Nintendo news, so I go there. So he has very good relationships with them, and there was this one video interview that he shot with Perrin Kaplan over at a developers conference, and they're, like, all buddy-buddy to the point where you're like, are they going out?
Yeah.
Which is odd because both of them are married.
Well, the big indicator was when he reached over and grabbed a boob.
Did you actually see the video? I can't remember.
No.
Okay, so nobody grabbed anybody's boob, but Perrin Kaplan has this thing where she likes to interview while sitting down on the floor, so she grabbed his leg.
Ooh,
it kind of kicked up, and he was like, no, I don't want to sit down, and she kept on grabbing it, and he kind of accidentally kicked, and his leg ended up, like, somewhere between her legs, and it looked very awkward.
I thought you were going to say she, like, touched his leg in a reflex spot, and he kicked her in the face by accident.
That would have been good. But then, then they came the stupid metaphors, and they were talking about Wii games and why they take so long to come out, and she was like, well, you like our baking. You liked my goods. You like my baked goods. And he's like, yes, I like your baking very much.
What the fuck?
Captain and Messina sitting in a tree.
S-U-C-K-I-N-G! So, yeah, it's funny because on the One Up Yours podcast, the Ziff Davids Network, Luke Smith called him out. He was like, yeah, they're fucking now. And everybody was just like, wait, you're joking, right? And he was like, did you see that video? It's got to be true. You know, of course he was joking, but I'm sure Asmussina's wife can't be too happy.
No,
it's just minor flirting.
But Kaplan gives some good head.
And baking.
Goods.
Moving on! we're still ahead of schedule. Neo Geo games on Japanese Wii Virtual Console out. Do you care to comment on this?
No.
Yay!
Well,
that's a comment. Yay!
If it means, like, you know, it says Neo Geo games, you know, could be coming to Japanese Virtual Console, then I, you know,
Japanese American!
All for the Japanese, and the only thing that I'm worried about is how much space these games will take up.
Yeah.
You're going to definitely need to use your SD cards to transfer games off and on at that point.
Absolutely.
You know what bugs me? I don't know what they're putting in those fucking games now that I know a little bit more about computer
shit.
It's like, chocolate.
Sugar, spice, and everything nice. That's what little computer programs are made of.
I think the reason why it's going out into the Japanese market is they're waiting for the trend of fighting games to come back in style over here.
Yeah. Maybe.
Remember the heyday? What I had? Art of Fighting, Art of Fighting 2,
Art of Fighting,
Redux,
Art of Fighting 2, Art of Fighting 3,
Art of Fighting,
Fatal Fury 2,
Art of Fighting Women,
Art of Fighting Street
Special,
Fighter,
Art Fatal of Fury Real Bout, Fatal Fury Real Bout 2, Fatal Fury Real Bout 3, Mark of the Wolves, Mark of the Wolves 2, Last Blade 2, Fatal Fury 2755, King of Fighters 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2K2, 2K3, and I think they're up to 2K7 now or some shit like
no,
that.
Now they're up to like 11 and 12.
Oh, they stopped using the years?
Yeah. Now it's called 11 and 12.
Oh, my God. The most ridiculous to me, though, was freaking real... the Fatal Fury that I just went over, but it was Fatal Fury, Fatal Fury 2, Fatal Fury 3, Fatal Fury 2 Special, Fatal Fury Real Bout, Fatal Fury Real Bout 2, Fatal Fury Real Bout 3, and then, like, a special version of each of the Real Bouts. What the fuck?
Go
away! Go! No! Go! Go! What's going on? Go!
It's almost...
Tony's getting mission!
God, that's annoying!
What just happened? Huh?
See, my question, though,
she just wanted to come in and do the fucking scratch-offs.
What?
Scratch my lotto!
Lotto?
Scratch my balls! Scratch my balls!
Yeah.
But
scratch my
yeah,
balls!
Yeah, but, like, if you download Street Fighter 2 via Xbox Live Arcade,
right?
That thing is, like, I don't know, that thing can't be more than 50 megs, and I think it's around, like, 25
Why?
Or so.
Why is it 25?
It should be smaller, too, right?
It should be, like, 2!
Right, so then what the hell is going in those Neo Geo games? That's my question.
Oh, wait, you mean like to make it 700 megs?
Yeah. No, 330 meg Pro Gear spec.
Yeah, a lot of old time.
Ding, ding, ding.
A lot of big sprites.
Don't they have
music,
like some compression system now? For
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they could pull it off. I'm really sure they could pull it off.
Yeah, now they could compress it, but
because,
before,
like,
I think they just put it all
raw. Like Art of Fighting. Right. Art of Fighting was like 170 something megs.
170 something Pro Gear mega spec.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's like all right.
And you know, all those megs just so you could hear. Ready, fight. Yeah. Wow, I mean, Japanese voices. Awesome.
Okay.
But now that basically translates to, like, say, 21 megabytes or something.
Yeah,
like
that. That could be okay, I guess.
Voice yeah. Talent. And, you know, you get a 500... Well, let me just...
Yeah, go ahead.
You get like, a 512 megabyte flash memory. You could put, what, like, 50 or so, 20, 40... Something like that, 20 Neo Geo games, and then you have to knock all your other games onto the SD card.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Then wait till you get to like the 1 gigabit power mega shit.
1 gigabit power mega shit.
Upper deck.
Upper deck. Okay. Right, moving on. Hopefully Ethan will help me chime in on this one. ATI delays its video card for DirectX 10 until May.
Oh.
Nvidia laughs really. Really, really hard. Well, I don't think they're laughing, but I would imagine they would be laughing. And then AMD comes out and says, we have a new chipset. And me sitting here going, well, where's my graphics card? And they say, we don't have one, but we have a chipset.
With integrated graphics.
With integrated graphics.
Integrated graphics.
Integrated!
That'll handle DirectX. Well, no. That'll handle Vista.
See, that's funny to me that wait, did you say DirectX 10
no,
or DirectX 9?
Vista, not
Oh, just Vista? Okay, so it's probably 9. Now, what do you think about the fact that, like, ATI has been delaying the launch of its flagship part for, like, I don't know, this is like 8 months now.
I would imagine.
And NVIDIA is, like, laughing its way to the bank.
Yeah, I would imagine it's something to do with the fact that they probably quite a bit of time dealing with who's going to do what and whatever kind of politics bullshit fallout that happens when in a merger and stopped manufacturing, stopped engineering.
Uh-huh. And when they fire everybody.
Yeah, they're probably behind.
Oh, wait, we don't need you. We don't need you. Oh, but we need you.
Well, they also probably spend a lot of time researching, like, how the two are really going to work together well and what the advantages are of when, a chipset company and a graphics company are together and sharing intelligence in a real way. So I don't know. It could be awesome. Fuck the delay. Right. Who cares?
Do you think that? I mean, I guess you were the one who pointed this out to me that coming out with a chipset, an integrated chipset, is kind of more important because if you're trying to appeal to the mainstream market, you want to come out with something that they care about. And Joe Blow, who gets his Dell, doesn't really give a shit about super graphics cards,
mm-hmm.
right? So them getting an integrated chipset that can run Vista smoothly without having to care about a video card is probably more important for them. But then what do you think it does for their, not necessarily their reputation, although sort of, but their just kind of their standing in the hardcore market where everybody has eyes on them and is talking about, like, oh, when's ATI going to come out with their Radeon thingy that does DirectX 10 and Nvidia's kicking their ass? Like,
yeah, no, I think it's a really good point. It kind of reminds me like Xbox and PS3. It's delays mount up as whatever kind of mm-hmm. manufacturing problems they're having go on.
Right.
And they're going to lose a little bit because of it. Shouldn't be as bad, but...
Hell, they almost lost me as a customer.
Yeah, I mean...
But when they nailed down the May date, then I'm like, okay, they said May, so I have a date now. But
right.
Then they also said February before, yeah. And before that they said January, and before that they said December, so...
Yeah, they were probably trying to keep up with the launch of Vista. And they probably couldn't. And so
I gotcha.
By May, I guess, a lot of people aren't upgrading. So as long as they get it in before the end of the year, I think that they'll be okay, even though they will lose more. They'll have to buy graphics, and they're not going to buy AMD.
What's funny is that NVIDIA came out with their high-end part that's like $590,007 and testicles out. And then, like, of course not everybody's going to buy it, but it's out, and people know about it. And yeah. Then you're like, okay, well, ATI still has time. And then, like, last month, it's like, hey, guess what? We have them for $300 now. And then, I could hear the, like, collective groan from ATI going, like, oh, shit. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. Ooh, Antipode has a new, just a news bulletin from Vista. We'll go over this really quickly. And his exclamation is, mm-foo-foo-foo-foo-foo-foo. Hackers have proclaimed victory over Microsoft's vaunted Windows Vista activation protection already?
Well, they already had it. They already had it with the upgrade scheme.
That's true. But this is like a hack.
Yeah.
This is brute force.
The folks at Kez News Forum say they have made a simple number guesser that makes a serial code and then tries to activate it through Microsoft servers. It can take a while, but it eventually works. Of course, this can cause huge problems for Microsoft, not for its bottom lines, but also for legitimate customers whose serial numbers are activated without their knowledge.
Mm.
Ooh, that's scary.
That is hilarious.
Good job, Bill Gates. Let me tell you.
8453283789. Bullshit.
Yeah, what? Like, H3, 3, 4, 5, 7, testicle, 5, 7,
you know, his next move is going to be releasing Vista DOS. It's going to work well.
Ethan, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, you know, I'm going to go buy my brand new copy of XP, bring it home, go to activate.
And it's going
to
be activated.
Yeah, it's already activated. Call Microsoft and be like, hey, I never activated before. Cops are going to show up at my house.
Hey, that's that hacker we've been looking for.
This reminds me of one of my friends who shall remain nameless, who downloaded a copy. Who downloaded a copy of Windows Media Center 2005, and it didn't upgrade on him right, and so he called Microsoft for tech support.
You're a dumbass!
After I told him 3 times, dude, do not call tech support for a problem that involves bootleg software that you just installed. Just let it go. And he's like, but I have no other avenue. I'm like, A, you have me. B, just delete it if it's not working. And he calls tech support, and he's like, yo, she just hung up on me. And I'm like, yeah, she probably traced your call and is sending the cops to your house right now. Yeah. Good job.
Book him, Dano.
But moving on. Oh, no, we're 1 minute behind schedule. Moving on to...
all the Microsoft cops have pocket protectors.
Pocket protectors?
Oh, my God. That was a bad
Jesus
joke.
Christ.
Hey, you said it.
I did. It was my fault. I blame myself. That was pathetic.
All right, we're behind
Get
schedule. Let's move
out
on.
Of your mouth.
Let's move on! Blah, 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 blah.
All right, go. All
right. Everybody's ears are probably hurting right now listening to this. Big fat topics today, Sony extravaganza. Anybody who's not been living under a rock and patting their patty has known that Sony's been in the news hugely for the past week and a couple of days before. First thing, Sony gets rid of the emotion engine in European PlayStation 3s, which is a big part of what'd you say?
Emotion! They call it that because it cries on you every time you try to work with it.
Yeah. Ken Kutarage, and you have emotion in your processor. But fucking, they got rid of the chip, and that one is responsible for all the PlayStation 2 backwards compatibility. So what that means now is that the backwards compatibility will have to be achieved through software like it is on the Xbox 360, which
Jeez,
is like
we have a list,
which is a 50% disaster, I might add. Where's my Panzer Dragoon on Xbox 360? Oh, we haven't got it working yet. We're gonna get it working soon.
Yo, the system like that really fucked up. Emulation.
What?
Yeah.
Now the history. Now, the history behind this is that Phil Harrison was taking a lot of pot shots at the Xbox 360 because its backwards compatibility was gimped.
Mm-hmm.
People were asking him about, like, you know, oh, what do you think of that backwards compatibility for Xbox? And he's like, I don't think that's backwards compatibility. He's like, we're going to have PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games all backwards compatible natively within the system. And, you know, it's something that our competition can't offer. And it's something that proves that our brand name and our brand recognition is king among all. And now they're saying, okay, well, to cut about $30 from the manufacturing cost of this beast, we're going to get rid of the emotion engine in every single PS3, and we will have a limited number of titles backwards compatible. Now, the two issues here that I want to get you guys feedback on. Mm-hmm. The one issue is the fact that backwards compatibility is going to be gimped. The other issue is the way that they've been marketing themselves. Is this really an issue? Do you really care about backwards compatibility? And is it more that you're upset at the way that...
Well, we visited this issue before. And my stance on it is if you want to improve your library, but with a new system, this definitely is standing in the way of that.
Now, let's take that further. For you, for you who is a potential consumer, let's say for the... Because I know you don't want to buy one, but let's say you're a potential consumer. And you... You know, you have your PS2, you're happy with your PS2, but you're also going to buy a PS3. How much does that backwards compatibility matter to you as a PS2 owner and as someone who you know, still plays his PS2?
Well, to me, it's huge. Okay, let's just put it this way. I didn't know how good the Wii's backwards compatibility with the GameCube was initially when I bought it. Now that I see how good it is, I no longer touch my GameCube, period.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's a matter of convenience for you?
One, it's convenience.
Like, you don't have to bring your GameCube out. You don't have to cut up.
Right. One, it's convenience. And two, it it really gives me an option not only to broaden the library of, say, the Wii, okay, but also to get all the games that I didn't get for the GameCube, because now I just have one hub where I could do both.
Okay, so it's largely convenience.
That's really good. I mean, they offer it. If they didn't offer it, I'd have to, like, switch out cables every time I wanted to play this fucking game. It's really annoying.
What about you, Ethan?
I've never been it's never been that critical to me to have backwards compatibility. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to keep a couple systems around, and I'm the type of gamer that tends to play stuff for a while, but then I don't go back to stuff that I don't know why, but me. So it's just not that big an issue for me, but I can understand it from somebody else's point of view.
Right. Now, is that... It seems to me that, like, it's more of a convenience thing. It certainly is for me. Like, for me, it's convenience. Yeah. I have all my consoles lying around, but...
Yeah,
like,
also, I have another argument to that. If you're going to offer me a backwards compatibility with flaws, for instance, there's going to be graphical limitation on a backwards compatibility, don't even offer it. Don't offer it at all.
Because you would just rather then not have the convenience. Like, it only matters to you if you can get the full experience.
If it's done right.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Perfectly makes sense. I think, like, for me, I have, like, a couple consoles lying around, and I like to play Star Fox 64 once in a while, but I hate having to drag it out. At the same time, it's a type of deal where if a company had told me we're not going to have backwards compatibility, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. Like, it matters to me in the sense that if they're going to offer it to me, then I want it to be good and I want it to be done right. But if they're not going to offer it at all, then, you know, I understand it. And the outset, I know what to expect. The kicker here almost is that they're saving $30 on each machine, but they're not offering it for any cheaper to the consumers over in Europe. Now, from a business perspective, that's, you know, a smart move because people, well, if they hadn't fucked up before and teased Microsoft and Nintendo about how shitty their, quote-unquote, shitty their backwards compatibility is, because, of course, with the GameCube backwards compatibility, you still can't play N64 games. They were teasing them about that, and now they're saying, oh, wait, we fucked up too. We're going to do the same thing. For those European consumers, I don't know how they're going to take that. If from the outset they had said, our backwards compatibility is going to be the same as Xbox 360, mm-hmm. then they would have been okay, but now it's that whole image thing. Now they're like, you just screwed us over. Hello? Why is America getting the better version for the same price, right? So I don't know how much they're going to, you know, really think about that. At the very least, though, it's going to save Sony some money because they're losing a ton of shit. So, I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think is it more important that the perception of Sony coming out and saying that they're going to do this thing and beat the competitors and then they backtrack? Or is it just the actual fact that the backwards compatibility is gimped? Like, what worries you more?
What worries me is that they just wanted to... They wanted to snipe at a situation they had no intention of being better at. I mean, that worries me.
Well, at first they did, and then they realized
you saw the backwards compatibility even with the emotion chip. It was suck ass.
Though they
did
fix it. They did fix it, though. They did fix it.
Well, initially, that was the whole thing, but
he's
up in a fucking clock tower sniping at, you know, at 360, okay, saying that their emulation is ass, and that they're going to provide a better backwards compatibility, and here it is. They have to fix it, first of all, okay, and then they do away with it altogether and go to emulation, which is the first thing they fucking sniped at, to begin with.
Exactly,
what are you, fucking stupid? Okay, that gives me 100% less fucking confidence in going in and buying a $600 system with the shitty Blu-ray, with the fucking Talladega Nights, with the one control, with no game.
With this
with
kind
the
of
fucking...
mood you're in, you are going straight back to the fucking hospital. Take it down a
My heart drives off of this. No, it does not instill confidence. As a matter of fact, it's just one more thing in a long line of fucking big red flags to prevent me from buying a system, one, that's this expensive, and two, that's this experimental. Right. I mean, it just seems like a fucking experiment that they rushed out there, and now they're playing backtrack.
I guess what concerns me the most in terms of the industry is that, first, we're going to have consumers that are upset about this. Second of all, they're going to overlook the fact that so they're not passing the savings on to the consumer.
Right.
And some people may find that bad. But actually, in all honesty, like, while I think that's kind of shady, at the same time, as a company, they really are dropping a shit ton of money. And if they can do this to kind of save themselves a little bit so that they can put that money towards funding their development studios to make better games. Okay. Or to funding their next version of the PlayStation 3. Because, you know, all these console manufacturers put out, like, new versions of If they can do some due diligence and, like, give some goodwill to the consumer and say, okay, look, we're not going to charge you cheaper, but we're going to make this better with the money that we're saving. Mm-hmm. You know, people will overlook that because of this negative press. At the same time, I don't know how trustworthy they are that I would trust them to do that. So I
totally agree with that. 100%.
So we'll have to see. But moving on, we're a little bit behind schedule now. Sony, and this is good news for them, and I'm so happy to hear this. Sony and Immersion settled their lawsuit for like $150 million. I think it's $150 million. Let me check the quote. But they settled their lawsuit, so everybody's saying Rumble in six axis now, which honestly, I would really like to see. Mm-hmm. Okay,
so
why?
So you can feel Talladega Nights?
I'm on fire!
Yeah! No, you're not.
No, you're not.
The controller heats up.
But like, I mean, here's the thing. You know, I'm playing. I went through this whole thing. I think half a year ago when we started talking about the lack of Rumble, and to me, it really does add a lot to the game experience if it's done the right way. It's like graphics. You throw in nice graphics, but the game sucks, it doesn't matter. You throw in good graphics and it makes the game better, like physics and you know all that shit. Then yeah, sure, lighting. Mm-hmm. When you use a Rumble in the right way, it really does add a lot to the gameplay. And I can't imagine playing a driving game without Rumble.
Where you can't feel when you're rubbing against a wall or something. Like those things are good. Yeah,
exactly. Right.
Or if somebody's banging you from behind, like.
Bam! The speaker on the Wii controller is a great example.
Is that the Rumble out?
What?
Say again.
The speaker on the Wii controller is a nice example of a new thing that really does add some cool stuff.
That thing is
really
awesome.
Cool.
That is an actual huge surprise. I wouldn't have expected it ever. And it's just in sync. Like when you play Zelda with that, it's awesome.
It really does.
It's just so intuitive. No, except for the laughing. That shit is annoying. Yeah, every time. Shut the fuck up.
Shut up, Edna. Like, I hope they don't overdo that. Yeah. Like they've done Rumble. Yeah. Like, you know, when you're playing a fighting game and you fall down, it rumbles. Oh no, you know. But so far, it seems to be interesting. But yeah, I mean, like even the Wii controller, the Wiimote rumbles. Mm-hmm. Like I was a little upset that the nunchuck doesn't.
Yep. Right.
But like at least the Wiimote does, and even though it's weak, it still is there, and it provides the feedback when you need it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Even browsing the menus and putting your finger over the menu item, and it right because you're not touching it, so you need some sort of feedback.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
So like to have that little rumble is perfect. It's not revolutionary, but it adds to the experience.
Yeah.
And it makes it more user friendly and. Like,
you know what game would be good with that? Wii Braille. That would be awesome.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, Braille.
But
that is fucked up.
But like for example, like MotorStorm. Have you guys seen video clips of MotorStorm for the PlayStation 3?
I've seen the video of it at Digital Life.
Right. Game looks amazing. It's like a dirt. It's kind of like a not a dirt bike racer because you have more than just
off-road.
Bikes.
Right.
But it's really intense. It's really realistic. Yeah, off-road, exactly. It's really realistic looking. It's 30 frames a second, 720p. It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that you're like, okay, as soon as I grab this controller, the shit is going to fucking shake, and I'm going to know what terrain I'm going over, whether it be sand or rock or road. And it doesn't. And people are like, dude, this feels so strange.
Yeah.
I don't, you know. So hopefully they get that back, and you know a game like MotorStorm is prime for Rumble because it tells you what kind of terrain you're going over. It tells you if you know you're going over obstacles or if you're going too slow.
Well,
or
Austin, I got a question for you. Can you buy an aftermarket?
Here's the problem: they might make aftermarket Rumble controllers outside of Sony's not permission, but like just outside of Sony's licensing.
Right.
But the problem is, and this is what I've read. Some correct me if I'm wrong, but I've read that the lack of Rumble is actually on the hardware, not on the hardware level, on like the OS level or something like that. So it's blocked. Oh, so like
it won't
the
even
games
tell the controller to rumble,
aren't
yeah.
programmed with them in.
Oh,
right. So even if the third party controller were to rumble, it wouldn't get signals from the game to
until
say, hey, rumble now.
Well, see, that's
until they release the controller. Right.
There's another oversight. That's another fucking oversight.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Besides the fact that the Rumble was, like, losing the Rumble was a dumb decision in the first place, they did do it because they didn't want to kind of pay up Immersion, which they ended up doing anyways. They didn't want to pay them up. And regardless of whether or not that's understandable, that's the decision they went with. So now they're going on this model that there is not going to be Rumble. So, you know, they can't possibly anticipate that, hey, okay, we're going to put our tail between our legs and settled with Immersion. They couldn't have possibly, like, you know, said, okay, guys, program your games for Rumble just in case we win this court case. You know, they had to tell the programmers, just move ahead full bore.
Right.
There's nothing we do about it now. Maybe in the future, but for now, just go ahead. And you know what I mean? It kind of, while I don't want to go easy on them, it kind of makes sense because it's like you don't want to tell your programmers to do something that might not happen, blah, 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 like that. You know, it's kind of wasting resources.
Well, it also may have been illegal for them to do it.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Like they had an injunction or something?
Well because remember, go ahead, Ethan.
No, I was just going to say, if it's already in contention, owns the technology, part of that technology.
Right, right.
And if it was partly software, they were saying it's theirs, then developed it, or have had to like start.
But is Immersion the only Rumble company out there?
Well, no, I mean,
no, right. I don't think so. But they have the, apparently they have, like, you know, the best
have
one
the
or what. I don't know. I honestly
for
don't know.
The Rumble in a controller.
Yeah,
the way that it works, in a
or
controller.
The way that it works, because Nintendo has never used Immersion. I don't
right.
think.
Well, if that was then it would be up to Sony to make a new handle. That way,
right.
it,
and
it goes
way
outside
the motors work and all that other stuff
has
yeah,
to be totally
exactly.
different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, to develop something like that costs, like, they were going to supposed to pay $90 is what.
Well,
they
already switched
for.
The handle twice.
They what?
Remember, it looked like some kind
oh,
of
yeah.
fucking airplane
boomerang.
When they first
that was
started.
A proto.
Yeah, but that was,
oh, yeah.
see, these,
it
that was
like
just
a
mock-up.
UFO.
Yeah, that was just a prototype, so it didn't really work. So there probably isn't shit in there that cost them too much money. It was likely like a plastic
yeah. like a boomerang.
Doll thingy, like
shell,
just a
yeah,
piece
yeah.
of plastic.
It was a concept.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It is interesting that they wound up settling at only 20.
All right.
And the original was going to be 91.
Know,
it's actually not a bad.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, for all the shit that I'm giving them, like, I am happy that they you know, fessed up and said, okay, look, we're going to pay
yeah.
you because the gamers want it.
Right.
If I don't. Now, this is not confirmed whether or not they're going to actually put
right.
Rumble back in.
Right.
Because, you know, by settling it. You know, maybe they're just trying to say, okay, we don't want to have to pay Immersion for every single DualShock 2 that's sold with a PlayStation 2,
uh-huh. mm.
so we're going to pay them off, but that doesn't mean we're going to put Rumble in sure. PlayStation 3.
Right.
So we don't know that for sure, but hopefully, you know, they'll listen to the gamers, and they will put it in PlayStation 3. If not, yeah. then...
Well, wow. either that or they saw that they were going to be entrenched in a
in
long,
a legal
long-term battle.
Yeah.
And
they wanted to end it.
At $150 million, it's just feasible to end this now. Rather
right.
than 2 years later when it's going to mm-hmm. be like 350 or
right.
even more, you know? So I think they should have settled this
yeah,
earlier,
but, you know,
actually.
They were
yeah,
just
I mean,
pig-headed about it.
Yeah,
I guess they were going to win.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're not wrong. You yeah. see, as soon as Immersion
oh, we're a big company.
Lawsuit,
we can't lose.
No, but the funny thing is, as soon as Immersion brought the lawsuit to both Sony and Microsoft, Microsoft
right.
was like, fuck it, we'll pay you.
Yeah.
Microsoft was like, this is change falling out of my ass, mm-hmm. Immersion. Here, you can have
oh, there goes some
change.
You know how
enjoy it, because... Because, yeah, it's just because, ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Because we can afford it.
How much
right.
how
we're
much
just
going to
pay you off and
well,
move
Sony
about
can
our life.
Too, but they, yeah, but they just
Sony
wanted to
could
take their
too,
money
yeah.
and run.
Exactly.
How much did Microsoft pay?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Let's see. Let's take a research here. Google.com. And I typed it with three O's. Does that still lead to, like, let's see. No, that was Yahoo. Yahoo three O's.
Yahoo!
26 million?
26 million. Mm-hmm. They got off cheap.
No, it's just they got off. Actually, they
same
paid
price?
More than Sony, though.
Interesting. That's so funny. Yeah, but then they didn't have to put up with the $91 million in legal fees.
Oh wait. The agreement consists of a $26 million payment for licensing rights and an equity investment, as well as $9 million for convertible debenture from. No. All right, sorry. Awesome.
No, it's okay. Yeah. So there it is. Now the big story. Sony blackballs Kotaku. And then has makeup sex with them. But for those who are not familiar with the situation, Kotaku is a blog gaming website, which is basically they're not big press like GameSpot or IGN, but they actually have a substantial readership. So I shouldn't say they're not big press; they're just not like a magazine type website. They're more
blog type website.
Right? Where they just update with like stories, and it's not in any format. They don't have any separate. So it's highly seen as fan based, and some people don't take it as seriously, which I for the life of me I don't understand, because a lot of big news comes from blogging sites. And they found this story that was detailing how Sony is going to implement this thing called the Home Sony Home, where it would be an area that kind of combines the whole Mii interface of Wii with the kind of the online dashboard structure of Xbox Live. And Kotaku basically did a lot of research and presented this as a rumor, clearly as a rumor, not as fact, but said, hey, this is a rumor. This is what might happen. We're not sure. Sony says, I don't like that. Can you please take it down? And Kotaku's like, dude, we did our due diligence. You know, we did our due diligence as journalists. We know this is not a fact. It's a rumor. And we're not going to paint you in a negative light. Sony's like, look, if you don't take it down, we're going to blackball you from all our events. We're going to take away all your interviews. And you basically will not be receiving
actually,
the privileges that Sony has to offer.
Sorry to interrupt.
And
this is actually before it went up. They said, don't put it up.
because they called Sony and said, is this already up as a rumor? And they said no.
Yeah, it's all beforehand. It's all beforehand.
Okay, my fault. Okay, so it's all beforehand.
First they asked nicely, like, please don't publish the article because Kotaku sent a copy to them.
Right.
Sony said, please don't publish it. Kotaku said, we're going to publish it anyway. They said, we're going to fuck you. Kotaku said,
pretty much.
We're publishing it anyway.
Right. And insider. Yeah, and so when Sony said, like, look, we're going to blackball you and there's nothing you can do about it, Kotaku's like, well, we're going to post this article and there's nothing you can do about it. And then they made up.
Sony
and then
sent
like
a nice email.
David Carriker got on the phone with Brian Crescente. David Carriker is from Sony, and Brian Crescente is the director of Kotaku, and they hugged it out, bitch. And they made up, and Sony allowed them to keep the article published, and Sony has reinvited them to all their shit. Now, I mean, this just presents
a very special episode of of Sony this, and Kotaku.
Yeah. This presents like an interesting difficulty with the gaming journalist industry in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got athletes and musicians and movie stars and whatever, and you've got the reporters shoving microphones in their faces, asking them questions that they might not like, and they say no comment or mm-hmm. whatever. Right. Now, I'll be fair, this is slightly different. This is about a rumor that could potentially impact a surprise announcement that Sony wants to make and surprise their fans with.
Right.
This is not an interview about questions that they don't want to answer because they've
also,
answered.
Also, it changes it if it's an insider mm-hmm. secret as well.
Right. But it's well, not, issue, I mean, the, like, it,
what?
No, I was just going to say that the issue is larger than that, in that this happens all the time.
Right.
In other industries where, right. you know, somebody has a story that they don't want somebody to print, and if the publication is small enough, they'll blackball yeah. that publication.
Right.
Well, were you, like, trying to make a juxtaposition of different mediums? Like,
I was trying to say exactly what Ethan's saying, is that it happens in other media, but yeah. it feels like in the video game media, it happens to a much stricter point and much more extreme point where all I mean look at the game sites. Have you ever seen, besides Electronic Gaming Monthly and 1UP, mm-hmm. which is really paving the way for this, have you ever seen any other game site have like a really hard hitting interview? Yeah, we got Matt Casmasina saying, this kind of disappointed me a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you guys improve. It's not like, okay, so why did you do this? You know your consumers are mad at you. A lot of people are mad at you. This was a bad decision. Justify it. You know, mm-hmm. instead, we've got GameSpot and IGN and all those sites just going like, so, tell me about how awesome your game is. So
right.
awesome.
Yeah, it is interesting, too, because, you know, that with the internet and speed of information now, the gaming industry might be one of the first industries that's seeing the smaller publisher with a lot more power just because
right.
they can publish for nothing. Whereas when
right.
somebody, when a smaller publication in print used to get blackballed and they had limited funds, then they have no news. But here they can, you can get out that like you're getting blackballed and there's this right. swell and this kind of grassroots, you know, momentum about how pissed off everybody is that Sony would do something like this. And then it's more bad press for Sony.
Right.
So I don't know. That kind of stuff's probably going to, something like this is probably a good thing overall, the way it,
right. Oh, absolutely. Now to get your opinion on this for a second, is it, and I think I know the answer because I know my answer, is it, does Sony have the right to say, don't run this or we'll blackball you? And does Kotaku have the right to run something that Sony has asked them politely not to run if it's going to ruin an announcement that they're going to make, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, okay. Well, let's just look at it in a tabloid kind of fashion, okay? Because a story doesn't necessarily have
That's
to
right.
be true in order to be printed, okay? There's such thing called...
But this is a different situation. This is not slander.
It's libel. First
yeah, but you have to start with the fact that the story is true.
Yeah, I understand that, but I was just getting to the point where in tabloids, the person has the option to sue the
That's the point. The lawsuit only works if it's false. We're only talking about now.
Yeah, we're talking
a story
about truth.
That's released. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Or a rumor, or and is branded as not possibly not true, like specified. This may
right.
not
if
be true.
People
this
Magazine
is what we've
comes
heard.
Out and says this, exactly. So that removes it. This is not about can they sue or will they sue.
Yeah, it's not really the legal.
Somebody find
yeah. right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say it's about somebody finding out something that is true,
mm-hmm.
and then
okay.
it, does the company whose news it is have the right to say to that company, don't publish it? And then does that other company have the right to say we're publishing? I think that's the question.
Well, if it's an insider secret, of course. I mean, if it's something leaked from like a... But they have to do their own investigating to find out who it was leaked by. But they definitely could put an injunction against the story. Sure, I would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if...
But you can't.
If, I'm sorry?
That's illegal. You can't tell somebody you can't print a story if it's true. because that's against freedom of the press. That's
well,
a
no,
of the
you can do a fact find. You could do a spin control and fact finding. You know, investigation and stop the story until it's proven true, right?
No, you can't. You can only do it after it's published. Then you can sue. You can't sue before somebody does something. You can't
so what you're saying? Oh, okay. So they didn't print the story yet.
So right.
They
so
just
the situation
asked
is.
Sony. They just asked Sony.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
it's like it's exactly like the Nixon thing. It's like I got a story.
I am
somebody
not a
leaked some information to me, and then they call up and they're like, "Listen, I got this story. Do you want to comment?" And then somebody's like, "Fuck, how did you hear that?" And then they're like, "Well, I can't tell you." And they're like, "Don't print that because it's gonna fuck us." And then they're like, "Look, it's news. You can't do anything about it." And then we're like, "Well, the only thing we can do about it is blackball you." And so the question is, do they have the right to do that? And the answer is yes. And then does Kotaku have the right to publish anyway? And the answer is yes.
Uh-huh.
And then it's up to the public. I mean, that's the great thing about a free press is that then
right.
it's up to the public to decide.
The public decides
with
whether
Sony
or not.
Being a dick. Right. And it's all about, you know, Sony looks bad when they blackball somebody because they're just publishing the news. Or Kotaku looks
of the
bad
public.
Because they're publishing something before the they
pubic.
Do enough research to figure out if it's
right.
actually true.
Right, right, right. Now, I think my viewpoint on this is the same as yours, Ethan. I think that Sony, I think that Sony made a poor decision in the way they went about it, but they have every right to protect what they want to announce. Not to the point where they legally are going to take action, but they have the right to say, you know, in terms of like, you know, just being a company that wants to announce some, not necessarily a secret, but I guess it is a secret, or, you know, has this technology to say, look, you know, because we don't want you printing our story and we asked you nicely and you disrespected us, we're not going to give you the respect that you want. I think they totally have the right to do that. I think it sucks that they did that. You know, I dislike them for it, but they have every right to do it. And there are a lot of people out there who are demonizing Sony for saying, like, you know, oh yeah, you're a bunch of pussies, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? You try running a company one day and you try to see your secrets leak out and see what happens. Now, the thing with Kotaku is I think
they
were
doing
their job.
Mm-hmm. No, they were. But here's what could have happened and probably should have happened. Kotaku calls Sony and says, we have this rumor and we'd like you to comment. And Sony goes, you know what? You're right. We fucked up. And it's our fault. Somebody fucking said something and they shouldn't have and it sucks. But let's do a favor for you so you don't do this to us. We'll give you an exclusive on the story later when we have more information. We won't anybody else first. And that's how the relationships work. Kotaku can still go with the story first. They can still get all the props, but the public doesn't know about it when they're really not supposed to. That should have been what happened. And it may have been what happened if maybe Kotaku was a little bit bigger and more practiced at this, or if Sony was a little bit more was a little bit better at fucking secrets to keep it. Because in the end, this is Sony's fault. Like, they shouldn't even let it out. Whoever let it out, it should be fired.
Right. Now, the thing here is that kind of bugs me is the overarching message about how the gaming press works in general, because it's much less. Like you said, there's a whole relationship between in there that you're like, oh, okay, you can get exclusive, you can get this, but it goes further in that the publishers can finagle their message into the sites in their news reporting or any other reporting. There's this great comic by Penny Arcade that basically talks about how EGM and its editor in chief Dan Chu interviewed Peter Moore about the Xbox 360 way back when, and it was almost groundbreaking because he basically went in there and said, hey, look, some things are right with the Xbox 360, and then some things the public is really pissed, and it's kind of like you guys fucked up, so you got to explain yourselves. Whereas in most other publications, it's like, so how did you do this? How did you do that? Yada, yada, yada. And then he did it again with the PlayStation 3 guys. He interviewed Jack Tretton, and we talked about this on the podcast at the last week, the week before, did the same thing. And the other gaming press is still like, they're still kind of like pawns. And actually, I brought up his blog, and I'm going to read this. This is from 1UP.com, and again, this is editor-in-chief Dan Chu of EGM.
Mm-hmm.
The headline of the blog is Good for Kotaku, and here's the text. In case you haven't heard, website Kotaku had some run-ins with Sony this week. Kotaku did everything right, researched some rumors, pieced a rumor story together, and tried to get a comment from Sony. Of course, Sony didn't want the story to be run, which is perfectly fine from their perspective, but the way they tried to bully Kotaku was inappropriate. Kotaku ran the story anyway and got blacklisted immediately. Long story shorter, in the end, Sony did step up and correct their mistake, which is kudos for them for that, and everything ended amicably. For what it's worth, I just wanted to say thanks to Kotaku for sticking to their guns and not letting a game company dictate what they can or can't write about. We need more journalists like that. I need more journalists like that. I can't tell you how much grief we go through with game companies each month because they are so used to so many journalists kissing their asses and doing what they want. We even had one major publisher's president tell us that they like working with certain other outlets because, quote, we can control the marketing message with them, end quote. It's so frustrating to do what I feel are honest previews, tough reviews, and get-to-the-truth interviews, and then have game companies tell us that EGM is, quote, not cooperating, and, quote, wants to work less and less with us. Why deal with EGM's bullshit when they can control the message elsewhere?
Right.
What Sony could have done, since they're put in this impossible situation, watch that crappy Deep Impact movie. In it, a reporter stumbled onto what she thought was a huge story. It was actually bigger than that, a world-ending asteroid. But the president of the U.S. made her a deal, said that if she held on to the info, she'd get a special seat at the press conference and get to ask the first question. So in this situation, who knows? Sony could have wheeled and dealed with Kotaku to perhaps give them an exclusive interview to learn more, let them run the story first before other online sites, exactly what you said, Ethan, but not until the announcement was made, etc. Basically, offer them an even deeper, fact-filled story in exchange for not running the rumors too early. I have no idea if that would have enticed Kotaku enough or what, and they still would have had the right to run the original rumors regardless, but it's better than Sony being a bully.
Yeah.
But like I said, Sony stepped up, and that's all that really matters in the end. I don't want to see a website punished for doing nothing wrong.
Can I comment
Kotaku.
On that real quick? Oh,
sure.
I'm sorry, it's not
sure, absolutely.
I just wanted to say, like, I mean, that sounded like a lot like some of the stuff I was saying, but there is an interesting difference to this and something else, which I think that writer's talking about, which is this is not a story about a moral issue, and it's not a story about a quality issue or
sure.
how the public feels about something.
Okay.
This was really just a strategic story advantage kind of thing. And in that sense, I don't want to say Kotaku's an asshole, but I do want to not put all the blame on Sony in that.
Sure.
It's not like Kotaku found this story that like 90% of people hate something, and then Sony was like, if you publish that, we'll be pissed off. That's a different thing than Sony really spending a lot of money working on something that should be private, having it leak, which is Sony's fault, admittedly, but it shouldn't have happened, and then a press agency not giving any leeway to Sony to say, look, we found this out. You probably don't want this out. It's not a moral issue. It's not going to affect the world either way, except help your competitors.
Right.
So that's the only way it helps. It doesn't help the public in any way to find out now or then.
It will actually, in my opinion, probably help build up excitement for.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
And
it could be
a good thing for Sony.
Maybe, or it could give Xbox a little bit of lead time
to,
you know, I mean, but from Sony's point of view, for whatever strategic advantage, they obviously didn't want that out. But it's not, again, it's not like a Nixon story. It's not like this affects the country in a moral way or the industry in a moral way or helps or doesn't help consumers. This is really about a strategic thing that Sony was working on that should have been a secret. And Kotaku probably should have been a little bit nicer about it to begin with.
Yeah,
and
I think both parties handled this kind of but go ahead.
I agree. That's my bottom line. That
next time, if Taco wants to get my interest in a story, as far as printing a rumor, they should print a rumor that Sony's going to actually put out some good PS3 games. I'd be very excited.
Actually, before we move on, I wanted to read this one comment because this blog has like a whole bunch of comments, and this user says, "So you're demonizing Sony as the company that dictates. We're trying to give people as big of a surprise as possible at GDC. I personally would have preferred for Sony to reveal PlayStation Home, along with a whole slew of other awesome PS3 stuff at GDC, and make it one big party, but thanks to Kotaku, that won't happen. It's like Kotaku just told me what my surprise party will consist of, and I can't blame Sony for being pissed at the party organizer. I'd be more than a little unhappy if I was organizing a surprise party for my daughter, and some kid ran out and told her that we were throwing a party for her, after I deliberately told him to shut up about it. I know where you guys are coming from, but I think sometimes the PR for the big game companies don't have an easy life either. Gee, thanks, Kotaku. You guys are so great. Hope you got the hits you wanted." And, you know, that kind of brings up another point. Like Ethan,
bitter
like
asshole.
Said, Ethan, but the other thing is, Ethan, like you said, this is not a Watergate story.
Yeah.
I think that Kotaku had every right to do what they did, and they, you know, in the interest of saying, like, well, we are an establishment that doesn't pull back, then they should have done it. But they... Like, I think that the
It wouldn't have hurt
backlash,
anybody if they hadn't. That's
right.
The real
no,
issue.
I agree with that. And I also think that the backlash from the people that they need to realize that, you know, this isn't a case of, like you said, a moral dilemma. This is a case of some not as heavy news. And, you know, they're doing a good job by doing their job. But they also shouldn't be like so glorified for like sticking it to the man. I mean, what are they really doing? They're just, you know, exposing a small trade secret earlier. It's not some heroic thing. It's not something that they should be martyred for.
Well, not only that, they're setting a precedent. I mean, if it's going to stick to the guns on this small thing, then it'll only embolden them to do it on a bigger thing.
Well, yeah, but you can look at it like this is like Fox News or whatever, where it becomes more entertainment
This is the about, no-spin zone!
Well, right. Yeah, it's more about, like, getting the story out first because that's what sells.
Mm-hmm.
And people like rumors, rather than, like, right. Responsible journalism, which kind of something different.
Well, they didn't sensationalize it either.
No, I agree, but a responsible journalist, I'm not saying they would have, I think it's an interesting argument and it could go right. Both ways, but they might right. Have said, maybe it's not right for us to release. Maybe right. It is right for us to say, look, we found this out. We don't, you know, we understand that you don't want it out. How about you give us an exclusive, like the other person was saying, and we work it out that way. So we get a little bit of something because it's a really competitive industry, and we have to be that person that gets the news out first.
Right.
And we did a good job, so we should be rewarded for that. However, you really shouldn't be penalized for somebody's like asshole mistake in this way because you're not really doing anything wrong. You're just trying to keep what any other company would keep seeing.
Okay.
Right.
That's all.
Well, here's the last. Like, kind of disclaimer from Dan. He says, edit, in response to some of the comments, I'm not condoning in any way the breaking of embargoes or NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. That would be unethical. That's not what happened here. So Kotaku found some stuff out, tried to get it verified, and then proceeded to report it as rumors and not facts. That's 100% within their rights as press, regardless of how you feel about Kotaku otherwise. So he's just making clear that this is not like a disclosure. Or
no, he's right. It's a gray area. And what I don't want, what I don't think is right, is for any of those guys to say, it's one person's fault or the other one's fault. It's just one of those things that really could be interpreted either way and should be addressed that way. It's really not a black and white moral issue.
Right, right.
And it seems like a lot of the talk after on the site after that and all the comments were like black and white, like go Kotaku, fuck Sony. And it's that's not the way it should be.
Right.
And it shouldn't be the other way around either.
I totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree. But
moving on to the mailbag.
Before we hit it, I want to hit the mailbag before Al has to leave for work. But I want to really quickly just go over the Pirates and Ninjas thing. If you guys didn't listen to my audio summary, basically again, Pirates versus Ninjas. Here's the first rule: submit a pirate or a ninja that you think is the most powerful and that would win in a fight of Pirates and Ninjas. So you choose a side, then you choose a pirate or a ninja specifically. Second, right. You can win a $50 gift card from the game retailer of your choice. If you enter in for the random drawing, you have to enter your mailing address first. Otherwise, we're going to think that you're spammers and you have 27 Gmail accounts. You have to give in your mailing address to validate your entry, and most of you have done that so far. That is a random drawing, and we will not start the drawing until there are 25 participants. Third, you can win a T-shirt from us, the design of which is in the works, and we'll show Woo-hoo. It to you when it's ready. That is done by our voting on the best entry. And now, while I'm aware that two people can vote for the same pirate or ninja, it all depends on the creativity and the writing ability of the person in question. How well you've written your entry, does it make us laugh? Does it make us mess our pants? And if it's the one we vote on, you get the T-shirt. What else is there? If you dig us, dig.com/podcast/trygames_net_podcast, your entry counts twice.
Ooh,
if you...
good.
Review us on iTunes, the same thing happens. If you do both, your entry counts three times. So if you review us on iTunes and dig us and send in your entry, you basically got a three times as many chances to win the drawing, not the T-shirt, but the drawing, as someone who's just sent in his entry. So dig us, review us, get your chances up there, and some of you have already. Thanks,
right.
guys,
work
for that.
For your 50.
And I'll read the reviews of our podcast later after mailbag. But first, sweet. Jameson V asks, who is your favorite composer of game music and why? And two, did Boba Fett escape the Sarlacc pit? Okay, let's take number two first.
Whoa.
No, he got his balls eaten by that fucking penis looking worm.
Can you repeat that really quickly? I heard Boba Fett and my brain started laughing. I ignored the rest of the question.
Did
my
Boba Fett escape the Sarlacc
pit? No chance.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
Hell no! Like yeah. Tony said, he burped.
Yeah, the Sarlacc burped. That's all you need to know.
Exactly. But
you don't know that. You don't know what goes on inside.
A better question would be, will you really stay alive for 1,000 years as you're being digested by the Sarlacc?
That means he would still be alive.
Well, maybe there's other food in there and shit.
So how is it? So is the Sarlacc like the ultimate, how do you say,
the Sarlacc looks
machine?
Like a penis.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it's some kind of preservation thing. We don't know.
Yeah.
But the question was,
years.
Did he
pickled
escape?
Boba Fett.
Which means that if he wasn't shitted,
pickled Boba.
Then he didn't escape.
No. Well, he might be alive for 2,000 years.
What if he, like, found something sharp and cut him open?
It's in the ground, dude.
He's like an M&M.
All right, let's actually answer the real question here, because Al has 3 minutes left before the end of the world. So, Al, who is your favorite composer of game music and why?
At this point, I'm going to have to stick to Nobuo Matsu. That guy is the freaking man. And he can take his music, which is usually classical in nature, and just either electronify it or metalify it or even jazz groovify it. And he continues to do really great work that is almost timeless. I really enjoy listening to his stuff the most out of any composer so far.
Anyone else?
Whoever did the Silent Hill soundtrack. I think it's Akira Yamaoka. It was really fucking good, seriously.
Any American composers that you can think of?
Oh, I can.
Go ahead.
Tony?
Spencer Nielsen.
What did he do?
He did Sonic CD, Echo CD.
Oh.
A couple of other games for the Saturn. Well, nice. Pretty much everything he does is orchestral and beautiful. Just amazing. So I would say him. And I forgot the guy's name who does Yuzo Koshiro.
Oh, yeah.
He also did Revenge of Shinobi. He did, he's really good. Really good.
I will have to, I have two of them. I'll go with Al's selection of Nobuo Uematsu. He's, Final Fantasy VI is still one of my favorite soundtracks ever. I don't think his music is as emotionally touching as Yasunori Mitsuda, who did Xenogears and Chrono Trigger. Like, the best of Mitsuda is much more emotionally stirring, but, like, overall, Uematsu's more versatile. Like Al said, you can take his music and change it in any ways, and it'll still sound awesome. His themes are more memorable, and they're a lot more fun to listen to. I've also got to go with Jeremy Soule, who is an American composer who did the soundtrack for The Elder Scrolls III Morrowind and The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. He also did the soundtrack for, I believe, Icewind Dale 2 and some other games I can't remember, but he's got this really, really great orchestral touch. He's also very versatile. It's versatile within kind of like a very European, a very British scope. Like, he doesn't go out and like do like electronica shit or other stuff, but like within his realm, he's absolutely incredible. And a runner-up nomination goes to Hitoshi Sakimoto, who did the soundtrack for Final Fantasy Tactics, Vagrant Story, Gradius V, and Radiant Silvergun. And that guy is also amazing, but he's not quite as versatile as Uematsu. So, two Asian dudes and an American. Moving on, and Al, if you want to stick around for this one too, I think it's a short one.
I know,
but you've got 0 minutes left. Here we go. It's Happy Cloud again. Yes, I know you don't like the name and do not respect it, which I don't understand, because the Jugum's Cloud from Super Mario Bros. 3 allows you to skip a whole level, level. That
Happy
is pretty
cloud.
Awesome, though. I'd say that's pretty damn cool, but you guys seem to have something against clouds, but hey, girls have something against you guys, so it all evens out.
Wow. Oh. You know who he's talking about. Yo.
What?
Anyway, my question is... Y'all! Anyway, my question is, do you think games today are treated as an art form, or do game developers more often than not release products just to earn a quick buck? I'll go before you have to go.
For the most part, everybody's looking for... but there are some people who really, really take their job seriously and provide a unique form of art in terms of music and graphics and even the art of designing a game with gameplay. You know, like Zelda and the puzzle elements and how, you know, you've got Ocarina of Time, which people even today, which is like, what, 10 years, 11 years down the line, saying it's a perfect 10 and it's a legendary game and games need to go buy it. Although I don't 100% agree with it, it is a...
Yeah, we're not talking about graphics, Austin.
No, I know that, Tony.
we're talking
about
games.
I know that, Tony.
Anyhow.
Because who let out the chortle?
No, I said because everyone thinks
it's a
perfect
10. Conversation that me and him have.
Right, and both of us agree that it's not a perfect 10, but it's pretty
You know,
close.
And then there are other games that thrive in the content, like Phoenix Wright, where the gameplay is very standard, but what actually hooks you into it, what its art is the story and the development of the characters and the humor that is presented throughout each scenario. So there are games like Madden, you know, the franchises that come out every single year on the dot. They're the games that try and cash in off of movies like the license games that usually crap, and they have to make it on the day that the movie comes out so that they can make a quick buck. And a lot of times, like sometimes those games, yeah, Edge sometimes those games are really good. Sometimes those games are really bad. And we had a conversation about movie license games, and you know there aren't very many movie license games that are really good, but you got stuff like Rogue Squadron 2,
right?
And Rogue Squadron 1, 2, and even Rogue Squadron 3,
Star Wars.
All of those games.
Then you have Aeon Flux.
Yeah, then you have Aeon Flux. But anyhow, yeah, that's it for me. I must leave.
Must you leave? Or can you stick around even more? No!
I'll see you guys.
Bye, Al.
Later,
man. I'll see you later, man. Have fun at work.
You guys, what are your thoughts?
Same.
My thoughts is, yeah.
Your thoughts is?
My thoughts is.
I thought I was the Asian one here.
Yo, I talk now.
I talk now! Go ahead.
Anyway, my thought on this is, yeah, primarily it's just for the buck. The reason why games like Zelda and Final Fantasy are where they are is because they are, you know, they have become art forms. Like, I wouldn't say the original Zelda was artistic at all. It was just well executed, not artistic. It was like, it's not like the Kagami of its day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like something that you went and you saw, oh my god, the graphics were amazing. No, it was just top down. The colors were, to me, were bland. But it was the adventure that got you. And it was like, some of the, and the puzzles that got you.
Go ahead, finish.
When it became like, you know, a franchise, it became artistic. It became, well, let's add some more elements into this to make this game not only play beautifully, but look beautiful as well. Okay?
Now,
I'm sorry.
Finish.
To me, that's the difference. It's almost like you got to build a game up to a level where every single one is going to be a masterpiece. Every single one is going to be, like, even for the fan of Final Fantasy. Let's look at Final Fantasy X, a game I vehemently hate, okay? It had every single element in it to try to make it look as beautiful as they possibly could. And that is an artistic-looking game. It's beautiful. And, yeah, they were trying to make a buck out of it, but it wasn't a quick buck. They put development in, albeit bad, but they did it. I mean, you know, and it is a beautiful-looking game. I just don't like it as far as playing and, you know, just like... But it is a beautiful artistic game. Now you look at a game called like Aeon Flux, Catwoman, you know, Family Guy, and you realize that these are just quick games.
Now I have to pose a question to you based on what you just said.
Yeah.
I find it interesting and not surprising though, because this is the way a lot of people feel about it. I totally feel differently, but I noticed that throughout your examination of this, almost all of the critiquing was on the visuals and how it looked. Now, do you not consider, and this is because I do, and many people don't, but do you not consider the art, like Al said, the art of designing a game, an art? Wow, that was terrible. Let me rephrase that.
No.
Do you not consider
the
process
of
design? Because when you said Zelda is not an artistic game, that's like one of the biggest things that...
Artistic in visuals.
Okay, I think... Okay.
I tried to make that apparent. I said that the visuals to me looked bland.
Oh, okay. But the game
itself, top-down adventure. Yeah,
right.
The game itself with the puzzles and everything, there was an art form in it, and in that. Yeah, no, the execution of the game was infallible.
Right.
The graphics, however, didn't make it the whole package.
Of course not. But I think that the way it was strung together in general, I mean, first of all, the top-down perspective was, and this is a myth that it was never done before, because it was, but it was rarely done so well. It was only done once or twice before, I think, in like this other weird Atari game. But the way it was structured, and even if the colors were kind of bland, like the way it was put together. But that's an opinion. That's totally personal.
Subjective
and personal.
Right. No, it's my opinion as well.
But there's a clarification that should be made to the question that the guy's asking, though, I think, and that's, what is the intent of developers? Not necessarily, does a game come out and then do I consider art? That's kind of a way more subjective question.
Right.
But I think his question was, maybe more clearly said, is how many developers are making games
because they
solely
do
for the purpose of to make money, and how many are deciding, I will risk profit at the expense of making something that's true to my heart.
Right.
10.
That's really, I think, the question.
10. There are 10 publishers.
Answer done.
I think there are very few publishers that would allow the developers to do it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like it's like an A&R and a record company versus an artist. You know, do what sells.
Right.
No, man, this is coming from my heart. I don't give a shit.
Right.
No one's going to buy that.
Right.
It's, you got, here's the thing.
This is the natural competing interest in a capitalist society that still thrives on culture. It's like, yes, right. you have to make money. I mean, otherwise there's no point. Right. But there's some balance that you have to strike between, you know, well, how much do I need to focus on making money, and how much do I need to focus on outputting what I feel is the best art that I can output?
And I think there's plenty of... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think you're right that it splits on kind of a publisher-developer line, maybe. Yeah. Or even on something like Madden, I can believe, really, that a bunch of the developers on Madden truly believe in what they're doing. And if it isn't...
Yeah. Madden for Wii is a good example of that.
If you take it from probably the simplest point, which would be the visuals, not that it's the only one, but like whoever's working on designing those characters, designing their movement, getting it as realistic as possible, that's art. And they may care deeply about getting that in, showing that in a way that they think is the most...
Well, but then again, isn't that done with motion capture? So they don't really have to do that much anyway.
No.
They got to tweak the hell out of that shit. Motion capture just makes the first step easier.
Uh-huh.
It gives you a reference point to work on. And there's still a ton of artists involved in everything.
Uh-huh.
Dude, we should motion capture a game. You know what the fuck we'd be doing? Thrust!
It'll be called Virtual Ethan Jerking Off.
Oh, God. Virtual Stanking. But yeah,
virtual
I mean...
Virtual Stanking.
Yeah, like, I think, like you said, Ethan, there's plenty of justification for why developers make a quick buck. I mean, like you said, you gotta make money. I think, to move away from that and just to talk about his question, about like, how many have X intent or Y intent?
Yeah.
I gotta say that I don't think that there are very many at all, but I also think that it's because, like, I honestly think, and maybe this is a bit naive and optimistic of me, but I think they got to this point because what they sold in the first place was treated as a piece of art. Like, take Splinter Cell, which has, like, a fourth game now and is, like, being milked like a fucking cow. Like, if we're going to say art imitates life, Splinter Cell is a fucking masterpiece, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, in terms of simulating that environment, of getting that lighting down, of, you know, all those things, they had to
and
do
the mood.
It right. Yeah, and the mood. They had to do it right. They had to take pains to make it an artistically viable game, whether it be artistic as in, like, flowery hippie art or, like, imitating life.
Yep.
And now they're milking it. Now they're kind of milking it. And then now you kind of see Rush Jobs, where, like, the PC version, unfortunately, has bugs. But it couldn't have gotten there if it didn't resonate with the gamers. Oh, and, you know, cynical people may say, like, oh, it's such a shoot game. It's not artistic at all. That's bullshit.
It's the same thing as a movie. And, you know, Austin, you've drawn this comparison a bunch of times. Where you can take a film and then – nothing's really coming to mind now, but I'm sure one of you can pick up one where it starts out and it really is – whether it's action based, it doesn't matter. It's a piece. It's a work of art. Cinematography's art. The way it flows is art. Okay, great. And then you build
not
a
Batman Begins because
it.
Batman Begins took it to the beam, but Batman, then Batman Returns, and then Batman Forever, and then Batman and Arnold.
No, Batman Begins.
Batman and Arnold.
I thought that was really actually well done.
Right.
Which I assume you did as well.
Batman and Arnold.
Exactly.
No.
The first one's something really special, and there's so much art that went into it. And then, of course, somebody decided, well, we need to commercialize on it. There's probably a lot less artistic considerations in the next few.
Joel Schumacher,
this happens in video games as well. And so I don't know what the answer to the question is, but there are still artists out there, and they believe in their work. And then there are people that, you know, they need to make a profit.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Were you done? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm done.
I think that you have the developers that do that, but, like, the ultimate end goal, like, and it really hinges on the publisher, and just the end result is a labor of love versus a labor of cash. And I think that in the case of Madden, that has become a labor of cash, which is not to say that developers don't care about their job, but, like, the overall... I guess just the way that you look at it, it just feels like a labor of cash. And it's just like pumping it out of your... And Madden Wii was the first one that really told me that, yeah, EA is still interested in innovating and making things work. And actually, Al was going to talk about this today, but we kind of forgot about it. He wants to get Command & Conquer 3. Al and I have this really silly embargo on EA going on. I admit it's silly. But it's not because they're the big guy. It's not because they're, like, you know, the championship. Hell, like, you know, if you're a big guy and you own everything but you make good shit, that's fine. I just don't feel that EA has made product that has justified to me the fact that now they're kind of sitting on their hands with the Madden license because no other company can make an NFL game. And so I felt that given my personal experience with NBA Live and how it deteriorated because they were the king of the crop before 2K actually became viable as a commercial success – like, EA was sitting on their hands, and then when they bought the license, and given all the other games that I bought from EA and found them to be rehashes, that was kind of the last straw. It's not because, oh, they're the big guy. It's just because I don't believe in what they're doing, but they're coming around again. You know, they're making efforts on Wii, like, to make it, and yes, they're doing it because the Wii is successful and they want to make money, but they could have easily just said, let's re-release SSX, on Wii and just give them like a classic controller. No, they said, okay, let's take this, let's innovate with the controllers, let's create something new. Let's take Madden, let's make it fluid, let's make it intuitive, let's make it feel like a football game. So
yeah, let's give our developers some real license to go and have fun as opposed to like force them to do something that we think will sell to the most people at the cheapest cost.
Exactly. So I think that it kind of hinges on the publisher thing, the publisher intent. I'm trying to think of other examples where you've got Nintendo whose aim is always to make money, but they always well, not always, but with the ones that are important, not Mario Party, but with like the Zelda games and stuff like that, they sit down and they say, we're going to make money on this, but we're going to make it good. We're going to make it like with all the passion. And God of War is another great example.
That was my original statement. If it's a series like Zelda or Final Fantasy, you can be pretty much comfortable with the fact that the next game they're going to try their hardest to make good as the last one, or if not better.
Though I do also think that there's something to be said for individual efforts, like for example, like the new shit, like God of War was a new IP in 2005. Mm-hmm. You know, only because it was so successful is it going to become a franchise now. But when it first came out, that was like that was truly a labor of love.
Also, Kagami.
Kagami or Okami?
Okami, sorry.
Okami? What am I talking about? Okami, absolutely. Absolutely, Okami. And it's not going to have a sequel because the studio disbanded unless the new Seed studio, which is made of ex-Clover people, unless that, you know, succeeds. And then maybe hopefully they'll give us more Okami. Right. But
and
yeah,
then you
like,
have a game like Psychonauts where, like, as you said, two people bought it.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But, like, and yeah, so, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Everybody says that was an exceptional game, you know, whoever played it. And it was reviewed very hot. Right. Just nobody bought it.
Right. And I guess to answer your question, Jameson, is I don't think there are very many, but I think there's still a few. I think the sad fact is that the few that still are around are either small and don't succeed with their art, but they do it anyways. And the ones that are the bigger ones far too often have great artistic pieces, but then also, like, for every one great piece that they have 10 Mario Parties or 10 Maddens. You know what I mean?
Catwomans.
Can't wait.
So the ratio is very skewed, but it's still there. And with independent gaming hopefully getting a bigger eye in the a bigger spotlight, hopefully that'll come back to the forefront.
Absolutely. I think it's like also look at any other industry right now. It's the same thing. You have like the internet and YouTube and all these self-publications, books as well. It's only going to make it better for more art to get out there, for the publishers to probably make less money on these optimal plans where they kind of make a game worse a little bit to make more money per dollar spent. That's really the difference.
Austin,
where
I
artistic
think
stuff
at
would actually
point...
say, I will consider making less money to do something right.
Right. Right.
I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
I was actually going to bring up something about how advertising is now going to change how games are going to be developed and good or bad or not. And I guess I'll save that discussion for some other time. But my view on it, just to give you a heads up, it's going to be bad. Very, very, very bad.
I am surprised!
Very bad. For instance, you know, just to give you a preface, I think games like RTSs, where, you know, like Company of Heroes are going to be severely impacted by advertising, because if there's more money to make a game that does show advertising, then real-time based games and games that don't offer little tidbits for advertising in them might not get the money that they need development.
That's
whereas EA is definitely going to get it because of Madden. They're going to get it because of their boxing. Can anyone say Burger King?
Moving on.
I'll disagree with that when we talk about it.
Right.
Yeah, we'll talk about that some other time.
We already spoke about it a few comments ago. Moving on. Here's from Slunks. Take all the money you guys have in your wallet right now and combine.
22
I got nothing.
Cents.
Then if you had to buy something with that money, what would it be? I want to see if you guys can come to a solid decision or not. It can be gaming related or not. Go!
Oh, it'll be gaming
related. A salt lick.
So okay, let me take the money out of my wallet. Let me see. I don't have too much.
I literally have nothing. I ran
really?
Out of cash. Yeah, my
you
girlfriend
didn't go to
had to borrow $5 from Tony last night to get a fucking phone card to call her mother. Like, I have nothing.
Tony, what do you have?
I have like $70-some.
Okay, $70. I have 10. I only have $14 now, so $84. What do we buy?
We could get a bunch of games for that.
The question is, a good game with, like, a kind of budget game or a bunch of budget games?
Well, wait, since we're splitting our money, I would suggest that we get a bunch of budget games and then trade them.
So, Slunks, after about 20 minutes of deliberation, we have come down with 4 copies of Delta Force Extreme 2.
No, no, just Delta Force
Extreme. Delta Force Extreme, because it is a shooter for PC that we all 4 of us can play online together.
Online, yes.
So we have decided on that. You happy, Slunks? You made us fist fight for like about 20 hours, asshole. That's a lie. Among the choices were a steak dinner, though. What's a steak dinner?
For $84 would have been kind of shitty. We'd be fine, yeah. But
listen,
yeah.
We'd have to go hoboing on a train so we could get to.
Why
Canada
do we also need? I mean, you know what?
Steak.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was at a really...
I have credit cards. We could just. We'll, I mean, it's money in your wallet. We can go wherever the fuck we want.
I had a steak dinner at this really good Italian restaurant yesterday. It was the biggest filet mignon I've ever seen. It's twice as big as Parkside Restaurant.
Where
in Corona?
Oh,
it's really good.
Cool.
And it was $25.
That's it?
Yes, for a big-ass steak and, like, 2 globs of mashed potatoes.
You guys ever been to Keen's?
No.
Oh, we're going to Keen's and prime rib. Oh, crap. Mm.
Riven asks, dinner for 4 at Houston's could be $84.
No way. I don't think
sure,
so.
Sure, if you just get 1 entree.
Yeah, sure, but no drinks, no nothing.
That's true, but it's good-ass food. Moving on! Riven asks, with the ESRB now hiring full-time raiders, I plan on sending a resume since I meet most of the criteria, although if I somehow got the job, I'd have to commute because they're located in Manhattan. So my question is, since you guys live in New York, can I shack up with one of you, please? Okay, seriously. Just wondering what you'd think it'd be like to work for the ESRB raiding games full time. Possibly being better or worse than a tester. And he's got a question after this, but let's tackle this one.
Mm-hmm.
I say better.
Worse than a tester.
Better.
I say better.
Worse.
Why?
Better.
Why do you say better? Why do you say worse?
I say worse because you gotta like conform to probably shit you don't agree with.
Well, no, I mean you're just reporting on it though. You don't make the decision.
Well, if they have like, if you see a game where if they say like ass like a certain number of times, and you got to give that like a teen or a mature rating, even though it's like a very, I'd be bothered about that.
Well, ass is legitimately a teen rating.
I mean, give it a rating. It doesn't mean that you're stopping the game from being sold. It's
bullshit.
Not censoring a game.
That's
it's just a rating.
Saying.
So I want my 9-year-old playing a video game with ass in it.
Fuck yeah, they hear it from my mouth anyway.
Well, that just says something.
Yeah, exactly.
About you.
This is why the world is gonna suck because Tony's gonna procreate.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Let's expose our children to as much as possible.
I think it'd be better. What was the second part of that question?
No. This is I'll say why it's better because when you're game testing, you're playing broken games.
Yeah, and you're just like finding all the problems with it as opposed to just enjoying the game that's finished. Uh-huh. That's polished.
Oh, and Tony, especially because you are rating the game, you have a voice.
Yeah, it's true. You affect whether or not something gets caught or not.
So you can disagree with them if you wanted to.
Oh, only if I could disagree.
That's what you're hired for.
You're the raider.
You're the raider.
So which now, Tony?
I say both.
What the fuck?
Tony's gonna moonlight.
Okay, so the rest of his question. Oh, and since Ethan keeps bringing... let's go back to this... playing games for a second here. I think the other thing is just like the fact that you're playing games nonstop 24/7. That could get grating, especially because you're probably going to get a lot of like Barbie horse adventure shit.
I want to have fun playing games anymore if it's my
exactly.
job. I'd rather just
so moving on.
Well, no, let's just put it this way. At least I know I'm trying to find bugs on games that they could fix instead of playing a game like Vice City and finding you know what the fuck happened on my Vice City game? I was driving in the middle of the street and I hit a fucking pole on the sidewalk. What the fuck? Now, if that ain't a bug, I don't know what the fuck.
Next part of the question. Since Ethan keeps bringing up Police Quest, he should check out the Adventure Game Studio at www.adventuregamestudio.co.uk. He can make his own damn Police Quest game. And if any of you are looking for some good indie adventure games to play, I can highly recommend 5 Days a Stranger and The New Adventures of Zach McCracken. 2 personal favorites. That sounds hilarious.
Oh my god, this is fantastic.
Did you just sperm yourself?
Yeah, I already just had an orgasm. Just looking at like really bad looking shots, but it's so inspired to make a bad looking.
Oh god.
Oh yes, it's heaven. If it works, man.
And the last question, it's Riven again.
Hello, Riven.
Oh yeah, and this is because he gave the address and he had one more question to ask, and he says, "Now that you have my address, please don't come rape me." Sorry, dude. Tony, I can't speak for him. Here's a question.
Oh, good one, the good one, Austin. All right. That was so original.
It's not fucking original. It's the fucking truth.
Shut up.
Fucking rapist.
So dumb.
Oh, please, Tony.
Like you have shit other than racial shit. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, let's go.
I do.
No, you don't. If I'm in time before the recording, here's... Shut up. If I'm in time before the recording, here's another quick question for you guys. Any predictions for GDC? especially regarding the big three. Oh, God. Well, now that Nintendo is, like, making this big stock trade, I know they're not going to have any big news at all. So, nothing from them. They might talk about just, like, their vision with Wii and, like, trying to reach other people, but we've heard that shit all already so many times. Sony is probably going to announce that home thing, and Microsoft, I'm guessing that Microsoft will try to push its XNA a little bit more and talk more about Xbox Live Arcade. I don't know if there's going to be anything big in the way of announcements. The thing that bothers me about GDC is it's called Game Developers Conference, and they've now turned it into this thing where they make big news announcements like it's E3.
That's because E3
is dead. No, but they were doing that even before E3 died.
Oh.
And it's like, and all like, sure, they're free to do what they want. It just kind of bugs me that it used to be a forum for developers to gather and talk about things and talk about, like, tools and shit, and now it's like, and now we're going to release Zelda in 2 months! You know? But then again, they do have DICE, which is Develop, Innovate, Create, and Entertain, which is also a developers conference, so I guess you can't have everything. What about you guys? Nothing?
Nope.
Nothing?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
That was an intelligent answer.
Yeah, I know. That sucks.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. But I know. I know. Tony!
Now go fuck yourself.
Nothing?
No.
No. So yeah, GDC, not too exciting. Especially because all three consoles are out now, there's like no big news to wait for. Especially since A, Nintendo can't say anything new. Two, Kotaku already ruined Sony's surprise. And three, Microsoft is Microsoft. They're going to come out with the same shit. I don't know. I don't know. Sorry for answering that question in such a shitty manner, but we just don't know.
Well, we're not really supposed to.
No, like, I mean,
we can just go to their
prediction.
Website. We're not going
to
know anything more than, yeah, but like big secrets, we're just.
Oh, I mean, we can prognosticate and testicular. I'm bringing up iTunes now to get our reviews. Thank you, everyone who's reviewed us and dug us, actually. I got to stress again, though. If you're going to dig us, please use the site regularly. Don't just go on there to spam our podcasts up into popularity because...
It is a cool website anyway.
Yeah, it's a cool website anyway, and we've actually lost digs because of it. If you just dig one podcast or one news site, you lose digs for it because they think they correctly think that you're just spammers. And like, so please dig other things that you find interesting. Many of you are from GameSpot. Many of you are from 1UP.com. I mean, they have... dig this links right on articles that you can read, so just, you know, just use it. iTunes reviews. Two, we have one from Jeremy De La Rosa. Grounded by a diverse and solid awareness of the video... Four stars out of four. Grounded by a diverse and solid awareness of the video games industry, the TriGames crew share their opinions, predictions, and most importantly, complaints regarding video games with the eloquence of a three-legged giraffe in a ballet. Vulgar, crude, immature, however you'd like to paint it, one must admit that the content in this podcast is nothing if not absolutely entertaining. Taking some tried and true formulas from other mainstream gaming podcasts, combining it with their own unique programming, and infusing all of it with a sense of lunch table right up in your face guy humor mentality, really helps these guys hit their target audience, hardcore enthusiast gamers. Though there's still some work needed in the general audio quality and flow structuring of the show, the podcast permeates quite a bit of potential for being a truly remarkable device for giving video game industry commentary. Since its inception, the evolution and quality has progressed in leaps and bounds. Kudos to the folks at TriGames for taking the time out of their busy lives to put together an entertaining and insightful show, constantly striving to improve it and sharing it with all of us for free. Keep up the good work. Do you know if iTunes ratings are out of 4 or out of 5?
I don't know, but either way, thanks, man.
Either way, 4 stars awesome. Is still good. Thank you, Jeremy. And another... review from Colby Myers, who is part of the community contributions on GameSpot. He is a staff artist. Good game podcast, 4 stars. If you're looking for a podcast about video games, this is one of the best choices. The only problem I have with it is that I think it's a little bit too long at times. I know they're trying to get new listeners, so shortening the podcast to maybe 40 minutes or something would help. Someone who isn't familiar with the show isn't going to want to listen to it for 2 hours right off the bat. I hope these guys success in the future. That's true.
That is very true.
Sometimes... I guess
how are we going to get rid of our fillers? With fillers like this one, would you rather buy Run Like Hell for Xbox or a pack of Energizer batteries for $3.99?
What?
They're both the same price.
What the fuck are you talking about?
That's what I'm talking about. The fillers like this. This is what the people want to hear.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Donkey punch!
Yeah, I'm going to donkey punch you in the face.
I think one of the keys is that maybe we release the mailbag as separate, but then it's not as cohesive.
We may just need to cover less stuff.
Yeah, the news, like the short, maybe we should just do a big topic. Suggestions, there's going to be the obvious, like you guys need to stop talking about the same thing all the time and reel in your blah, blah, blah. Force of habit. Force of habit, okay? Right. Things that we can do that aren't habit. Send in your suggestions, like, what can we get rid of? Do you care about the news topics, or should we just get one big, fat topic? I think we did a good job today of blazing through the what you've been playing quicker. That's been one of the elongating factors, you know. Mm-hmm. Today, what we did was we actually took our agenda and we spliced it in by how many minutes we'd spend on it. The only problem is that the mailbag.
Nice job, Austin.
Huh?
Nothing.
I'll hear it in a
few minutes. Nice job, Austin.
Thank you! Not nice job, you! the only problem is that the mailbag is of an invariable length. So if you guys think we should release the mailbag as a separate cast, I'm all for it. It's not going to be recorded separately. It's just going to be released separately. But then it might, again, that sacrifices some cohesion. So suggestions go to mailbag at where?
TryGames.net. Arujo.
Arujo. Mailbag at TryGames.net. MALEBAG at TRIGAMES.NET. That works now.
He kids you not.
It works now.
Yeah. Sweet.
Send shit.
Fucking bag
there.
Of mails.
Bag of mails.
actually, can you make that bag of
bag of mails? Yes, I will make that, but it's not going up yet. I'll make that at some point, and I'll announce it. Again, send your pirate versus ninja entries to mailbag.trygames.net again. Remember to validate your entry.
Trygames@mailbag.net, dude. Who the fuck has mailbag.net?
Mailbag@trygames.net.
No mailbag.
Shut up. Make sure to validate your entry with a mailing address before.
Shit. Somebody owns mailbag.net.
And make sure that if you want to win a t-shirt, that your entry is entertaining and thoughtful. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank Al, Ethan, and Tony for being on today's podcast. I'd like to thank Jameson V and Happy Cloud and Riven and Slunks for the questions. Slunks. And I'd like to thank Jeremy and Colby for reviewing us and the great many of you who have dug us. Jimbo has dug us. Ribbon has dug us. Slunks has dug us. Jeremy has dug us. Bunch of other people that I'm not going to pull up the website now, but I'll get you guys later. All right, there, bye!
Get that cocket out of your mouth.